Dog Pound, we want you to design our end zone banners this season. We're selecting three winning designs to be revealed to 68,000 fans at First Energy Stadium. The winning designs receive game tickets, sideline passes, a customized jersey, and more. To enter, visit ClevelandBrowns.com now. It is Tuesday here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Again, the number to call us up, 216-578-0850. That's the way to get on board with the show. And I also want to let you guys know the Browns are doing something real cool today. It's called the Browns Hometown Huddle. They are building playgrounds out at the Lewis Agassiz School on the west side of Cleveland, and I was actually out there this morning. We filmed inside the Cleveland Browns out there live from there, and I know some of the players and the staff out there right now. Jordan Cameron, John Hughes are two of the guys out there when I was out there earlier today. John Greco, Joel Batonio, Billy Cundiff, Travis Benjamin, Barkevious Mingo, all were out there building this playground, and it was a lot of fun. It's part of the Browns Give 10 initiative, and it's one of the things the team does and the players do on their days off. And I think it's really important that the community aspect of what this Browns team and the Cleveland Browns Foundation do is clearly so important from top down. And let me ask you, Matt, what, in your time in San Diego or anywhere in the league, did you do a lot of community work on Tuesdays as well? Was that something that was important to your organizations?
It definitely was. San Diego was, for the most part, and a lot of it was through the military because, you know, San Diego, very, very big military presence there. So it was great, and it actually helped me personally develop a huge appreciation for the military. And even to this day, when I see, you know, those proud vets wearing the World War II or Vietnam hat, I always just say thank you for your service because I think they're very underappreciated. We think they just get thrown back into society like everybody else and don't get those thanks because they protect our freedom and they do something. They're a heck of a lot more of a man than I was because I couldn't imagine, you know, bullets flying by my head. And I love the fact that they think we're heroes for playing football. And I'm like, dude, I put on a helmet and play a game, bro. Yeah. I was like, you go to war.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. I share my appreciation with them. And then also, too, is my wife and I actually started a foundation out in San Diego with the Chargers. And we would visit schools, you know, talking about kind of like what Play 60, you know, just being physically active and putting, you know, setting goals and setting yourself apart in today's world because it's very easy to fall into the norm or fall into the bad in today's society. So you definitely and again, LaDainian Thompson, someone I looked up for, I think he was NFL Man of the Year at one point, also did a lot, which is kind of what really pushed me to want to get out and be a part of the community as well.
And is that something for a player that, let's say, coming off of a tough loss, you get out there and you know you go do something good? Does it kind of put everything in perspective for you? Is that kind of a therapeutic thing?
It definitely does. And it my wife and I always would do it when my teammates and I would do it. It's like you kind of like, oh, God, you got to take your time and get off your butt and go drive there and do it. But when you're there, you live in the moment. You love seeing the smiles on these kids' face and how you're impacting their life. And then when you get in your car to go home, you're like, man, I'm so glad I did that. And it was like the best decision. You know, I want to do it again. And those are the guys that you see consistently. And I know you talk about Jabal Sheard and Barkevious Mingo and John Hughes. Those are guys who do this weekly not because they have to, because they want to. And that's great.
And it means something, and it is great, and it's something that comes right down from the very top of this organization. Jimmy Haslam, D. Haslam, certainly stressed the importance of giving back to the community and the Cleveland Browns Foundation, of course, the Give 10 effort, and everybody's out there today doing a lot of hard work. And when you watch Inside the Cleveland Browns tomorrow night at 7 on Sports Time Ohio, you'll see us from there, see it kind of as it happens. And this is everybody in the organization's out there. President Alex Shiner was out there working today, even got his hair messed up, which is rare for him, if you know him, to go out there and build for the kids. So it was certainly a lot of fun and good to see. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines now, 216-578-0850. We got a lot of you guys out there. Let's start with Frank in Rochester. Frank, welcome to CBD.
Hey, Nathan. Hey.
How you doing?
How you doing, guys?
Good,
man. How are you?
Oh, good, man. I got to tell you, that was the most disappointing loss I watched since the fumble.
Yeah, it was rough.
I just couldn't believe it. And honestly, I put it right on the coaching staff.
Okay.
That offense wasn't ready to play. Some of their calls were terrible, you know. And as far as, you know, like the three backs, yeah, I think you're right. We need to sit somebody. I mean, we got to get Terrence West to run north-south and stop running east-west.
Yeah, too much dancing.
Can do. Too much dance there. And honestly, I think the other kid should start.
So if you were doing it right now, let's just get, so, you know, because one of the things we're going to talk about, and Matt and I will give our opinions on this as the show progresses, but if you're saying you'd go three running backs and you would go with Crowell and Tate and you would start Crowell.
I would start Crowell and have Tate sitting. He's pretty banged up, man. If we don't get him some rest, he ain't never going to get right. That's just his forte, it seems like. You know, and the offensive line just showed how much it hurt not having Mack there.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know if they addressed that center thing. I don't know how good what's his name is going to stay. You know, get at center, but that's something that needs to be addressed. But you know, and then also, man, I put a little blame on the offensive veterans. I mean, the defense came out and they played their heart out, and that offense just seemed lost. And
it did.
I don't know. And like I said, it was disappointing. But, you know, we got another week to go here, and it's, you know, it's like we said in the beginning of the year, we ain't looking to win a Super Bowl here, but we're building a foundation to get better.
Exactly.
And, you know, we see needs, and needs aren't going to get taken care of all this year.
No, I think that's a good point, and Rome was not built in a day, and the Browns are trying to build a foundation. But I think everything – I don't know if it was on the coaches per se as much as it's sometimes on the football field you can be physically outclassed. And I just think that offensive line on Sunday against the Jags was physically outclassed and dominated by the front of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that takes away everything you try to do in this offense. And you've got to control the point of attack. It's one of the reasons why this team made such an investment in the offensive line, taking Joel Bitonio early in the second round. That's why there was a lot of talk, if you remember, that the Browns might even take a lineman with their first pick when people were saying, wait a second, do we have other needs here? It's so important to control that, and I think ultimately what you'll want to see is them get back to a situation where Greco goes back to guard and you have another center. So you only have really one backup in. Is right now you have two backups because of sliding Greco over. You've gotten worse at two positions. So I think that's where they'll want to go with Nick McDonald. We'll just see when he is ready to get there. But I want to go back to Terrence West and the North-South thing. And we were talking before the show about his comments yesterday, Matt. And what did Terrence West say to you or that you heard he said to the media yesterday that really kind of caught your eye or caught your attention?
What caught my attention was the fact that he talked about him getting in the game and wanting to make a play or hit a home run because of the limited reps that he was going to get. Now, that's a good thing to say, hey, I want to go in the game and I'm going to be an impact player, but the fact that you're pressing, you know, to make that play, and the best way I could say, you know, and I said to Nathan, you know, prior to jumping on the air today was, you know, if there was a guy or a receiver that, you know, I had a vendetta against, not headhunting by any means, but like, you know what, this week if James Jones comes across the middle, I'm going to blast him, you know, and that's me going out of my way and going above and beyond this defensive game plan and being my own player and being selfish to go to play outside of myself. You know, and that is the best way I can say that his comments is, you know, I'm going to go above and outside of this, you know, this structure of this zone run scheme to try to make a play because I'm only limited in my reps. I don't know how many I'm going to get. Now, it's good the fact that he wants to be positive and try to make a play and try to make an impact. That's great. But there's a time and a place for it. And if you talk to Emmitt Smith, who played in the zone run scheme, or you talk to Terrell Davis, I promise you, when they didn't try is when the yards came easiest. When they pressed or they tried is when they were stopped for no gain or obviously there was the least production. And again, that's a rookie mistake. And that is something that over the course of time will beat you.
But you said in your mind, when you hear a comment like that, you know that somebody is not fully focused on doing the job to help the team win. And not because he's intending to hurt the team. He's trying to make a big play that helps the team.
Correct.
But when you are constantly seeking out that home run, you're leaving 3 yards on the table, 4 yards on the table. When you're in a second and two situation, getting that first down that's the job. If it's a 2 yard run, you get a first down, that's good. Sometimes in baseball, it's okay to make an out because you're bringing a run in. You're sacrificing your own personal gain, et cetera, for the good of the team. And when you're thinking that way, even though in his mind, I'm sure it's for the team, you know, I want to hit a big play for this team. I want to show these coaches what I can do. You're kind of taking yourself out of the greater picture of 11 people working together for one goal.
You're right. And I think you look at that run that we're talking about when he danced and he tried to make four different guys miss and hit four different gaps. It's now you have to think is in his mind, it was to do something good. But in doing that, it actually hurt the team. And so guess who Wilbert Montgomery is going to consider next time they're in that situation? Not you. So he actually did something bad for himself. And that's what I'm talking about, how it hurt that team. And as I told you as well, is I really think that not converting that first down, which would have been easily converted had he just stuck his nose in there and got the ball across the line. Look at this, the number of the plays that came thereafter, you know, that end up hurting the Cleveland Browns.
Well, you think about it too. You get that first down, right? Then there were less than 2 minutes at that time. That means you're going to run another three plays at a minimum. You're probably going to take all the clock out or take out all of their
and
timeouts.
And I believe they've used timeouts
they'd
as
used
well.
They used two, I thought. I thought they had one left.
Exactly.
So you're going to take all the time off the clock.
You'll be under a minute.
Under a minute. You're going to kick a field goal or score a touchdown. So you're either going to be up 13-0 or 9-0, and they're not going to have an opportunity to score going in the half. And I think that just changes the whole momentum. So you need to think about these things in the greater context. And I thought that, you know, getting your take on that, you know, is that something that, you know, after that in the locker room, whether it be a player or a coach is going to say, hey, I heard your comments. I totally get it. It makes sense that that's your mindset and you're trying to earn a bigger spot on this team, but you need to understand that doing that and thinking that way is actually counterproductive. It's going to earn you a smaller spot on this team.
I don't necessarily think it comes from a player. If anybody, and those comments are made available to the coaches will most likely read into those comments the same way I did, and that'll be a personal conversation between Terrence West and Wilbert Montgomery or Coach Pettin and Terrence West, you know, walking in the hallway when they've got each other one-on-one, because the last thing you want to do is make him seem like an outcast after, because
well, it's just misplaced intention is what I think it is.
Exactly, and it's a rookie mistake, and again, rookies, they call them rookie mistakes for a reason, because rookies make those mistakes, and if he wants to be a contributor and he wants the ball more, he can't have that mindset.
Because it's hard, right? He's at Towson. He's setting every record in college. He's running for over 2,500 yards, over 40 touchdowns. When they are running the football, he's getting every single carry. For you, you're at Ohio State, All-American. You're the guy. You are the man in the middle of that defense.
You don't want to come off the field.
And then you go to the NFL, and it's like, we have a bunch of guys who are the guy. Everybody here was the guy.
Eat some humble pie. You know, you're not gonna start on this defense for 3 years. You're not going to get, you know, double-digit carries in this offense unless someone is hurt. You know, and again, what he has to understand is that it's the intent to make a play for the team is great, but he also has to understand the circumstances of that down and that down in distance. And that's, again, where over the course of time in my career, you start to learn those things, you know, down in distance and what getting this first down with this run means for my team, not break a home run and what that means for my team. Because those are very lofty goals. You don't hit a home run every time you touch the ball. Has he had one thus far this season? No. So why did he expect to have one on that play when getting a first down was just good enough?
Exactly. And it's one of those plays that you'll look back on and say you think absolutely could have turned that game. And it's interesting. I thought his words were very insightful. I thought they were very honest. And I think it's something that because he is honest and he was understanding where he was coming from, it's something that can be cleaned up. We're going to continue with your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Again, you can call us and talk to us about our hot topics of the day. The running back one, obviously, getting a lot of run here. Are three running backs just too many? Do you need to be able to two guys to get into a rhythm, one guy to be the main guy? How would you split that up? Does Johnny Manziel, do you want to see him get some run, just a series here or there, just some kind of involvement? It's Brian Hoyer's team. We're not suggesting it is not. It should be Brian Hoyer's team. He's earned that right thus far. And then the other one is, what's one thing that needs to be fixed for the Browns? We've got grades to come, Steve Tasker to come, and your calls, 216-578-0850 on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven